my name is Xiaoying. I'm a program manager in Visual Studio SharePoint Developer Tools team. Today, I'll show you some new features about SharePoint development for SharePoint 2010 and SharePoint 2013 in Visual Studio 2012. SharePoint 2013 preview was released in this summer. It introduces a cloud app model that allows you to create apps. You may ask, what are apps? Apps for SharePoint are self-contained pieces of functionality that extend your SharePoint website. To help you build apps, we also released tooling for SharePoint 2013 at the same time. The tooling itself is not building in Visual Studio 2012, so how can you get it? Actually, it's pretty simple. Just launch Web Platform Installer 4.0, which is installed with Visual Studio 2012, and in the search bar, type some keyword like SharePoint, and then search. You'll see an item called Microsoft Office Developer Tools for Visual Studio 2012 RTM Preview, and this is what we want. It'll install the tooling onto your machine together with all of its dependencies. So here I've already installed the tooling on my machine, and let's start doing something. Now I launched Visual Studio 2012 Ultimate. The tooling for SharePoint development works on Visual Studio Professional, Premium, and Ultimate. So let's go and add a new project here. In the new project, there is a category called Office/SharePoint, and it contains three items. We can see that Office add-ins and SharePoint solutions are the ones that were familiar with SharePoint 2010 and Office 2010 development. And the apps is the new thing that we added into the SharePoint 2013 development. And let's just select App for SharePoint 2013 and click OK to create the project. And then we'll see the new app for SharePoint Wizard is launched for us to specify some initial settings for the app. It contains three questions. In the first question, we'll specify the app name for our project. And in the second question, we'll specify the URL of the target site that we want to use for debugging. And because the tooling for SharePoint 2013 supports remote development, so the site here could be either on your local machine or on a remote on-premise server or on Office 365. And here I've already input the URL of my SharePoint site hosted on Office 365. And in the last question of the wizard, we need to specify the hosting type. And we can choose the option from the drop-down list. And here I just want to keep the default one, which is auto-hosted. It means that the app would contain a SharePoint component, which will be deployed to SharePoint server, and a remote component, which will be deployed to the web server. In the auto-hosted apps, the SharePoint will deploy the remote components for us into a Windows Azure website account. So let's click Finish, and it'll create a project for us. We can see that there are two projects are created for us. One is for app, and another is a web project. In the app project, there is an app manifest file, which is required for app for SharePoint, and defines some important properties. In this tooling, we have a manifest editor for us to edit the properties of the app. In this editor, we can see that the default app start page points to the default web page in the website. And the app project also contains an icon file for the app. In the web project, the tools has already added some assembly references for the SharePoint client object model so that we can call those APIs to call back to the SharePoint site. And it also contains token helper code for us to easily use OAuth to develop our app. Now let's try to add something into this project. What I'm going to do is to create a SharePoint list, which will display the new features of the tooling for SharePoint 2013 development. And I'm also going to update the default web page to display those items into this web page from the SharePoint site. So first, let's try to add a list item. In the Add New Item dialog, we can see that there are a set of item templates that we can use to build the app. And let's choose List. give it a name called SharePoint Tooling Features and click Add. And the wizard will launch for us to choose list settings. We can specify the name that we want to use for the list here. And we can also choose what kind of the list that we want to create. We can select the first option if we want to customize the list schema, or we can select the second option if we only want to create the list instance, which is based on an existing list schema. So here, I'll pick the first one, and then click Finish. Then the list will be created for us into the project, and also the list designer is launched for us. List designer actually is a new feature that we introduced for the tooling of SharePoint 2010 in Visual Studio 2012. And through this wizard, we can add columns by selecting an existing side column from the drop-down list. Or we can just type into a new name to create the new list column. And we can also update columns, such as update the column names or update the type of the columns. We can also add or remove column types for the list. We can specify list views and list properties through the designer or through the properties grid. Okay, so now let's just save this list and go to the default web page to add some code and display the items from this list. What I need to do first is to add a grid view control into the design view of the page. And I'll go to the toolbox and use the new search bar that we introduced into Visual Studio 2012 to find the grid view. And then I drag and drop the grid view onto the page. So now let's go to the code behind of the page and add some code to display the items. Here I'll use OAuth because it will connect to SharePoint site and get some data from the SharePoint site. And here we can see that the tools have already generated some sample code to demonstrate how we can use Token Helper APIs to use the OAuth. And we can simply update this code snippet. And here, to save the time, I'll just remove this code and add the code through the code snippet that I've already prepared for this demo. And I also need to fix some errors here using the smart tag to add some namespaces for the types. Okay. So now let's go through this code quickly. It does a couple of things for us. First, it'll get context token and access token so that it can retrieve data from SharePoint site. And then it'll execute a request to get list items. And for the demo purpose, it also inserts some items to the list before it gets data from the list. And last but not least, it'll do the data binding, assign the data source, and to make sure the data will be displayed in the grid view. So now we can set a breakpoint here and hit F5 to run the code. We can open the output window and see the progress. And we can see that the tooling will help us to build the code and to get app package, and then to install the package onto the SharePoint site. After it finished this, then we'll see the web browser will be launched for us and navigates to the site. And because our app contains a web project that will connect to the SharePoint and get some data, we'll be asked whether we want to trust the app to access those basic information. So now let's trust this app. And let's launch this app. Immediately, we can see that the breakpoint is hit. And let's continue running this code. So now we can see that the app is launched and it opens the default web page, which shows the items from the SharePoint list. So to now, we've seen some new features that we add into the tooling for SharePoint 2013 app development. And SharePoint 2013 also supports SharePoint solutions, which is the same concept of SharePoint 2010 applications. So next, I'll show the new features that we add into SharePoint 2010 development in Visual Studio 2012. And because it's a building tooling in Visual Studio 2012, so you can get that by installing Visual Studio 2012. Now let's go to the new project dialog and add a new project. We can see that there are several project templates that we can use to build SharePoint solutions. Let's select the first one to create an empty project. And in the wizard, we can specify the site URL that we want to use to debug our solutions. And we need to specify the trust level of the SharePoint solutions. We can select the first option if we want our solution to be running in a secure process, but it will have limited resource access. And we can also choose the second one if we hope our solutions will access more resources from the site. So here, I want to deploy that as a sandbox solution and click Finish. Then the project will be created for us. And now let's add some items into this project. And on my SharePoint site, I've already added a list using List Designer to display the features that we add for SharePoint 2010 development in Visual Studio 2012. And what I'm going to do now is to add a visual web part. And in the tooling for SharePoint 2010 in Visual Studio 2012, we support the sandboxed visual web part. So let's go to add a visual web part here. And from the item template, we can see that it's easier for us to tell which item templates will be farm solution only and which ones will be supported by both. And let's click Add. And now similarly, I want to add a grid view control onto the Visual Web Part page. So let's search it and drag and drop that onto the page and go to the code behind to add some code to display the data. So first, I need to add a namespace here that is Microsoft.SharePoint. And then to make it easier, I'll set auto-generate columns equals to true. And then to get the list item collections, that is SP context current web lists. And the list name is features. And we want to get items of the list. And now we can set the data source for the grid view. And last, we'll do the data binding for the grid view. We can see that I leveraged the IntelliSense support in the code editor. And actually, in the tooling for SharePoint 2010, we improved the IntelliSense for sandbox solution. So the IntelliSense in sandbox solution will show those sandbox-only APIs, but not farm-only APIs. So for example, if I type a farm-only API here, which is called SPULSTraceListener, we won't get any IntelliSense support here because it's not supported in this type of solution. And if we switch the project from sandbox solution to farm solution using the properties grid in the project, and we'll see that the error is gone. And now we can run the code. Again, the tools will build the project and package the solutions and then deploy the solutions onto the target SharePoint site. And we can also see the progress here in the output window. So now let's go to the site pages and edit this page and insert the visual web part that we just built. Okay, so we can see that the visual web part is added into the page, and also it shows all the features from that list. So now we finish our local development, And what we want to do next is to publish that onto a remote SharePoint Online site. What we need to do now is go to the project node and launch the context menu and choose publish. And in the publish dialog, we'll see two options. The first option is what I'm going to use to publish the package onto the SharePoint site. And the second one we can use to publish and get a package for the local file system. And here, I have the site URL specified as my SharePoint Online site. And let's just click publish. And then it also build a project, get a package, and also upload those package onto the SharePoint Online site. After it's finished, we can see that the web browser is launched and navigates to the SharePoint Online site and also points to the Solution Gallery page. And we'll see our package is uploaded here. Okay, so till now, we've seen some new features that we add to support the tooling of SharePoint 2010 and SharePoint 2013 development. And in the first part of the session, we went through the new features that we added to support the development for apps for SharePoint 2013. And in the second part of the session, we went through the new features for SharePoint solution development for both SharePoint 2010 and SharePoint 2013. Hope you like it, and I'm looking forward to your feedback.